Hallelujah. Let's pick up our Bibles and let's go to the word of the Lord for today. I think I got something to say. Acts chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 13. Hallelujah. How in the world did I come up with that? Hallelujah. I didn't. Hallelujah. I didn't. Acts chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 13. Amen. I told someone the other day that when I go to the book of Revelations, it's a very serious situation that's taking place. Hallelujah. Because the book of Revelation is not really necessarily a book that you find that much liberty to preach from. Because there's a lot of symbols and there's a lot of, I should even say human confusion on how to approach the book of Revelations. Hallelujah. But I believe one thing about it is one the most important thing that we have to remember that the book of Revelations is the word of the Lord. And I believe that we are in the midst of whatever God is trying to reveal to the face of this earth today. The book of Revelation is also there to give us a greater understanding. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now remember, this is the activity of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And my servants and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to the darkness, and the moon into blood, and before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass. Now listen. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 1. And by God's grace, I hope I read it as John wrote it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, as his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now remember, in order for saints, in order for him to have war with the saints, saints have to be here, right? Am I right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. By the grace of God today, man, I thought of 1,000 titles for this thing. In the midst of the battle of two worlds. In the midst of the battle of two worlds. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you, God, for the power and the authority of this day. We worship you. We acknowledge you. We give you praise and we give you great authority. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done and all that you truly are about to do today. And we pray that, God, that through the word of God today, that you would give us, God, the insight and direction about what we're into and what we're going, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you sit down, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, help us to understand the things that we deal with. That makes sense? Help us to understand the tribulations and the problems and the circumstances that the church faces today. Help us to understand it better. Oh God, help us. Put up there 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Now I want you to hold your horses, because this is going to be a very detailed message, because I think that the Lord wants us to be able to grip what's going on. And I want to relate to something, because of the fact is, sometimes I've learned that sometimes when people have the Holy Ghost, they still have doubts and they still have fears. And sometimes we even don't understand all the things that go on around us, and so we doubt sometimes. We doubt sometimes what the Word of God says and what's written in the Word of God. And I want to bring something to our attention so therefore we can kind of enter in and work to be on the same page. That makes sense? Because this message is important. The Lord gave me 3 different messages this week, and none of them was for me to preach. And this unfolded in my spirit today. He gave me the scriptures yesterday, and I wasn't bewildered, but I think that after we heard what we heard last Sunday, I think the Lord wants to continue to bring forth a lot of direction to the body. a lot of detailed direction to the body. So it's important that we listen. It's important that we listen. It's important that we receive. And guess what? And even if you don't feel it, you need to put it together. Because you know what the problem is? People assume everything that comes from God, you don't have to feel. But everything that comes from God, you need to believe. You need to believe it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to do all that. This is the problem with people. Because I've learned one thing, that there was a lot of things that God has given me that I didn't feel. But as I dealt with them in my spirit later on, I began to receive the understanding. And God gave me the feelings and or the burden or the spirit or whatever I needed in order to bring it to my understanding. You know, sometimes that might have came years later. Might have came years later. But the most important part is that we have to be very careful today. Be very careful today. Because today is not like any other day. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. He wanted to remind them, right? Go to the next one. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. I want you to remember one thing. That when the Lord brought prophets in the midst of the children of Israel, a lot of times they rejected the prophets. They rejected the prophets. The prophets were rejected. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Because he wept, because he had such a burden for Israel. But yet Israel would not listen. Israel was very stiff-necked and very hard-headed. And so Israel would not listen. So he's saying that we may be mindful of the words of which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us that the apostles of the Lord and our Savior. So he's saying, so there's two sets. It's the holy prophets and it's the words of the apostles. Amen. And then he goes to verse 3. It says, knowing that first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, I've heard that around me. I've heard scoffers. I've seen scoffers in the church walking after their own lust, not believing in the things that God is bringing to pass. Scoffers. Go on, brother. Go to the next one. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were at the beginning of creation. Now let me ask you a question. Are things the same as they used to be? Come on. Oh, we know we had wars and rumors of wars, and we have all types of things. We have pestilence and earthquakes and all these types of things that take place. And, hey, man. But is it the way it always been? Hallelujah. No, it's not. It's not, because the fact is, apparently, there's something that's taking place upon the face of the earth, that the situations of life have become extremely progressive. And so, but we have some among us, and we have some among us, and I'm not talking about just in here, but I'm talking about among us, as we live in the world today, that says, well, things haven't changed. It's always been the same. Nothing's changing. Rush Limbaugh would say that. Please help that man. Praise the Lord. Help him. He would say that. He would say that. There's nothing changed. It's always the same. Go to the next one, brother. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water was in water. Go on. Whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. It was a flood. It perished. It happened. Whether you believe it, it happened. The contours of Germany proves it. Am I right? It took place. It happened. Going to the next. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store and reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Ungodly men. But the heavens and earth, he reserved it. In other words, he's letting you know one thing. Man, no matter what, how much nuclear weapons he got, no matter what he does, he will not destroy this earth. Because he didn't create it. He will not destroy it. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. He has preserved it. Amen. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, my Lord. Go to the next one, brother. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. Oh, if you look at Methuselah lived 969 years. Am I right? Do you know how long that was? He lived 969 years. What's a biblical calendar year? A biblical calendar year is 360 days. Which is 365 days and a fourth. But a biblical calendar year is 360 days. And Methuselah lived 969 years. No man has lived one day in the eyes of God. But you know what that talks about? That really relates to God's patience and his love towards humanity. Don't nobody tell me that God doesn't have grace. God has grace and God has mercy. One day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. God is patient with man. Hallelujah. And we thank God for his patience. Well, you know, go to the next one, brother. The Lord is not slack concerning himself, his promises, as some men count slackness. Thank you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Did you hear me? The Lord is, listen to me, saints. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. In other words, if God will answer. God will answer. But in whose time? In his time. Now, why has not he answered? Because more likely, he's trying to teach you something. He's trying to get something in your spirit. He's trying to get something in your mind. And so God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, and willing and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, is that not mercy or grace? It's not God's will that any man should perish. Now, that's just something to help build the foundation of my message. Now I'm going to preach. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. What was so exciting about what was taking place? God poured out his spirit. They heard men begin to speak with other tongues as the spirit of God gave utterance. The people and surroundings begin to question, what's going on? What meaneth this? What does this mean? What's taking place? What's happening? That's all right. What's happening? I heard a man say one time that in service that people shouldn't speak in tongues. I heard that a couple of weeks ago. I thought, man, that man got to be out of his mind. The man got to be out of his mind. What are you talking about? People have the liberty to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is the gift, the promise that was given unto us. We need to bathe ourselves in the gift and the promise that was given unto us. That's our only hope. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Repentance is a command. Every man is commanded to repent. Every man is commanded to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's a command. If you don't believe it, go to Acts chapter 10. They were commanded to be baptized. It's a command. Repentance is a command. God commands all to repent. And baptism in Jesus' name is a command. And it's a command because it's the only way that you can find yourself in the presence of God according to Scripture. Salvation. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is a gift. You got two commands and a gift that's attached to salvation. Amen. Now, I've already fulfilled the command. I've already repented. And I've already been baptized in Jesus' name. Now, I continue to repent. But I also continue to bathe myself in the gift. Why? For this is that. For this is that. So we live in the last days. We live in tremendous days. We live in horrible days. We live in confused days. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that's not saying that everybody will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is not saying that everybody will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is available to every man. Amen? Now I want you to understand, all y'all tongue talkers. It's important that you pray through. It's important that you receive what God has for you to receive. It's important that you let, because see, hear what you know what you pass over? You only pass over to others what you have. You only pass over what you have. See, I can pass over to you and say, listen, man, Rob, listen. You can have a nice little lay-me-down religion. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you know what? It has no power. It has no authority. It does not deliver, or does not bring power to your soul. And I can give you that message. And I can give that message to everyone. Say, you ain't got to do. I've heard somebody say, you ain't got to do all that. Man, listen, you got to do all this and some more. But you know what I want to deliver to you? I want to deliver to you a message that has the authority and the power to set your spirit and your soul at liberty and freedom. I want to tell you about the goodness of Jesus. I want to tell you about the miracle working God that I serve. Hallelujah. I want to tell you about the God that I talk to every day. Hallelujah. And when I begin to talk to him, I can feel his pulsating power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell somebody about an experience. Now somebody say, it don't take all that. Oh, it takes all that, and it takes some more. Hallelujah. See, it's not supposed to make sense. It's not supposed to be down to my logical thinking. Because if it's down to my logical thinking, I can figure it out. Who can figure God out? Who can? I can't figure it out. Amen. And then the Lord said, He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Do you realize that in these days right now, that some of our churches are so restricted and so conformed that we hold back prophecy? Shh. We hold it back. We got to bring everything under control. We got to control the movement of God's spirit. When God is trying to speak to his church, God might be trying to uplift you. God might be trying to tell you something. What if Brother Wallace doesn't prophesy to you? What if the Spirit of God can't move upon us to prophesy and use us effectively one to another? What if God cannot speak through the church? Then you got a dead church. You got a dead church with a lot of dead people that's living only for the position of religion, and we're sitting there and we're waiting for Jesus to come. But how can we wait for Jesus to come if we're not experiencing anything? Isn't God preparing his body? Isn't God preparing the church? Of course he is. Hallelujah. Because he's poured out his spirit upon all flesh. His spirit is among us. His spirit is with us. His spirit is in us. And he says, your young men shall have visions and your old men shall dream dreams. These are not things of the flesh. These are things of God. Anybody have any visions? Come on. Who had a vision? I had several. Anybody have dreams? Hallelujah. Sister Nemox, you had dreams before, ain't you? You know it's of the Holy Ghost. We had a dream one night, and you know what happened? My wife had a dream. She said, I got up. She said, I was laying in the bed, and she said, I seen this tremendous man that was standing over my bed. He was so tall. And he told her, he stood at the end of the bed. He said, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. And I said, what did he say? What happened? And he told her, go downstairs and look outside the door. And she went downstairs and she opened the door, and there were families outside. Amen. And you know what she told him? What the angel told her? Told the families, you can go in because you can trust them. Was that from God? Was that from God? That happened years ago. Was that from the Lord? Huh? The first day I thought, oh Lord, I'm not worthy of all that. I'm not. But the Lord has shown me dreams and visions before. And so, listen, let me tell you something. If the Spirit of God moves in our midst, he desires to give us all dreams and visions. He desires to minister to us effectively and to empower us. To let us know that in these days that we live in, we need to be empowered. We need to be empowered. We need to understand that the Spirit of God is moving among us. And on my handmaids, and on my servants, and on my handmaids, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then the Lord said, he said, I will show wonders in heaven. Is the world not experiencing wonders in heaven? What about all these scientists that say they see these tremendous positions of light that are soaring and coming towards the earth? Huh? He said, I will show signs in heaven. And he says, and signs in the earth and beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. My Lord, what is taking place in the world today? What am I saying? I'm saying that these situations are the situations of the elements. The devil has no power over the elements. Do you realize that? The devil has no power over the elements. The devil can't command a hurricane to come down and swoop down in Germany and blow everything away, because he has no power over the elements. The only one has power over the elements is God. And so we see all of these different things that are taking place upon America, upon arid situations, fires, and all these type of things. These are all things that's really moving by the hand of God, because God has the power over the elements. Satan has no power over the elements, none at all. You know why he doesn't have power over the elements? Because he didn't create them. He didn't create the elements, so therefore he doesn't have power over it. And so we see all this. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, and that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, I don't know when the judgment of God is coming. And I'm not going to say right now that we're experiencing the judgment of God. But I tell you one thing, we are experiencing an outpour of the Holy Ghost. We are experiencing an outpour between, and we stand in the midst of the battle of two worlds. God is moving. God is doing something upon the face of the earth. Listen to me, saints. I want you to understand. God is doing something that has never been done before upon the face of the earth. Amen. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it out. But let me tell you something. If you got the Holy Ghost, now I want you to listen to me. If you got the Holy Ghost, it is to your advantage to find yourself from time to time in the realm of God's Spirit, because that's where he's going to minister to you. That's where he's going to give you insight. That's where he's going to tell you this and to do that and to do this. That's where. Hallelujah. And he's trying to get a church together. He's trying to prepare a church. Hallelujah. That he can use. Because let me tell you something. A church without the Spirit of God is a powerless church. It's a powerless church. Bottom line, have no power. And it's deceived by the powers of darkness. So, you know, sometimes people, I know folks will walk up in here and think, well, what's wrong with these people? Some of us walk up in here and say, what's wrong with these people? I'm enjoying the Holy Ghost. Is that a problem? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Listen, you have to learn one thing, that God wants to get a hold of every man's heart, soul, and spirit. Now, if he can't burn the fire in your heart, how is he going to burn the fire in the hearts of others? Let me tell you something. What did I just tell you? Didn't I just tell you about two commands and a gift, right? Now, let me help you with something. You can go to people and you can feed them the doctrine and the doctrine and all the doctrine if you want. But you won't get nowhere. You can shove it down their throat and tell them they need to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, but you won't get anywhere. You know why? Because at that point, at that time, your doctrine sounds no different than any other. But when you tell them about the power of God's Spirit, hallelujah. When you tell him where God has brought you from, hallelujah, what God has done in your life, Hallelujah. See, what we don't understand is the object of the message is supposed to be delivered when they ask the question. Did you notice that in the book of Acts? They asked the question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Didn't they ask the question? So if the question is not asked, you don't even have an open door to give the question. Because you need to have power of the Holy Ghost to open the door. That's why I tell folks say, well, what did you do? Well, how did you get away from sin? How did you overcome the situation that you're in? What did you do? I said, well, I received the Holy Ghost. God came in and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, my life began to turn around. Hallelujah. And then they say, what else I need to do? Well, you need to repent. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden somebody say, it starts making sense. It's something they didn't begin to read in the Bible. It starts making sense to them. Because why? Because it's not a dry spirit that's ministering to them. It's the Spirit of God. Makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes a tremendous difference. Because guess what? This is not just a dry religion. This is a position that God has desired to empower his people. Because if you are not empowered, you will fall. You will fall without power. You will fall without being electrified. Listen, let me tell you another reason why having the Holy Ghost. Now listen, y'all never heard this one before. This is something new. I talked to the girls here. How much power does it take for an Apollo to get out of here? You know Apollo, the spaceship? Huh? You ever look at Apollo, spaceship when it's taking off? Anybody? Huh? Now, what is that going against? Gravity. So it needs power in order to break that gravity. Am I right? It needs power to break that gravity. But bottom line. And some people say, well, you know. So when Jesus comes, will that power of gravity exist? Will it exist? Of course it will. It will exist, right? Well, how are you going to get out of here when Jesus shouts? You got to have some power. Hallelujah. We read it today. Huh? Put up 1 Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16. Put up real quick. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Go on, read the next one, brother. And then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that are in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Does that make sense? So that tells you, you need to activate the Spirit of God within you. Because if without it, you won't get out of here. Listen, I seen somebody sent me thank you, Sister Cinnamon. You sent me that yesterday. That was very good. Because you know what? I seen a bunch of people sitting there, and rapture took place. Boom, and you seen people doing like this. It's over. Hallelujah. Too late. And then all of a sudden you see somebody get down and they begin to start praying. Man, listen, man. Do you realize what God's trying to tell you? If you got the Holy Ghost, you better use it. You better bring it. You better use it. Hallelujah. You better use it. You need to use it. And the sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. This is where the meat's at. What you talking about, Brother Gray? And I stood upon the sea, the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea. Now, we got to deal with the symbols, right? The sand of the sea. The sand of the sea is the amount of people that's in the world. And the sea, of course, is the sea of humanity. The sea of humanity. Hallelujah. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon the horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, and upon his head, the names of blasphemy. So we teach and we believe that the 10 horns represent 10 nations, or the formations of 10 nations. Doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, or whatever. It represents the formations of of 10 nations. Now in our modern day, it could be 20 nations, it could be 30 nations, but it's a formation of 10 nations. Then of course we have the 7 heads, which represents blasphemy. Do you realize what's taking place in the world today? How much blasphemy do you hear around you? How much blasphemy do you hear? Endless. Go to the next one, brother. And the beast which I saw was unlike was like unto a leopard, and his feet were, and now I can go on and all that, but I'm not. That's another lesson. And his feet and the bears and the mouth and of lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, what's empowering the beast? Satan. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, we have not seen the Antichrist. But there's a stirring in the earth today among the spirit world. There's a stirring. You don't believe it? There's a stirring. I know it's hard. It's hard to see. All you got to do is read the newspaper, pick up the internet. Hey, man. Hey, anybody heard about Pakistan? Stirring. Anybody heard about Turkey? Stirring. Anybody heard, you know, we know about Iraq. We know about Iran. Hey, man. Huh? We know how Russia feels. We know how China feels. Am I right? There's a stirring. There's a stir. In other words, there's a formation that's developing that's going to help the Antichrist come on the scene. Now, let me ask you a question. Some of you wonder why you're going through what you're going through. How many struggle in their prayer life? Come on. Be honest. Real struggling. You really struggling? I'm struggling. Huh? How many feel as though they almost, how many feel as though, you don't have to raise your hand on this, your burden seems like it's failing. You know why? Because right now the church is caught between two worlds. The church is caught between the two worlds. The world that God is bringing forth through the outpouring of his spirit and all the things that are taking place, the signs, the wonders. Let me tell you something. That's why we can come in here on Sunday and everybody struggle all week and God still takes over. God still takes over. You know why? He's poured out his spirit. He's renewed your vision. He gave you new hopes on your dreams. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the human, that's God's side. But then when we go out into the world and we get out there Monday morning and we start going to work, we start dealing with the problem. We you know what? The corruption in the position of humanity today is unprecedented. Am I right? We have never seen such corruption. Never. And it's going to get worse, y'all. It's going to get worse. The corruption is awesome. We would not believe some of the things that are taking place and some of the things that we read about and some of the things that we hear. We would not believe it. It's hard to believe. It's hard. It's hard to believe that the world, we now are really in a world that is stirred with the position of chaos. Chaos. Economic systems are falling down. Don't we know? Look at the dollar. Am I right? Look at the dollar. Political system is falling apart. You don't know who's who. Can't trust nobody. Democrat, Republican, Independent, all of them are frauds. Am I right? They all are. They all are frauds. Everybody got something up in their sleeve. Everybody's trying to get a position of power and a situation of power. Everyone is. And so, because we stand in the midst of a stirring. There's a stirring in the earth today, like never before. There's a stirring. We can go to all the diplomatic tables we want. Listen, pretty soon they're going to start fighting at the diplomatic tables. I'm serious. Pretty soon the politicians are going to go up, just get up and start fighting. Disagreement, bam. Huh? What did he say? I should slap him. Bam. Because why? Because there's a spirit. There's a spirit that's moving upon the face of this earth of evil and unprecedented evil like never before. And you know what? Even our prayers seem as though it can't stop it. Huh? And then we got our own domestic problems. Car broke down. Can't find this. Ain't got enough money. This, that, and the other. Need a new job. Am I right? God, then in our own minds, it seems as though, is the Lord answering? Is the Lord helping us? Because, you know, before when we ran into situations like this, what would happen was we can remember that pretty good with a good prayer time. We can get the peace of God, the power of God. Now, it seems like every time you get ready to pray, something comes to cut it off. Something comes to cut it off. If it wasn't, listen, now I know if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Ghost, most of us wouldn't be here today. See how powerful the gift is? Because the flesh can't keep you. Don't let nobody get you caught out there on legalism. But if they get you caught out there on legalism, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Because with legalism, you're bound to fall. Because it's all in the flesh. It's what I do. How I do it. Amen. Don't get me wrong now. Man. When I say legalism, I'm not talking about the way you dress. You're supposed to be modest. Be holy, righteous, clean, upright. Amen. Hallelujah. We ain't tearing down nothing. Amen. But we not. But at the same point, we realize one thing. That God is who God is. And God is an expectancy of his people. Because we are the salt and the light of this world. So I've come to a place and to a situation today that when I look at different things, I realize that we as the church has to be very careful today. Because there's a lot of things we've torn down that we need to strike. We need to build back up. And we need to build it back up. And we need to build it up very carefully. Not just for us, not for the church today, but for the generation to come. Because, see, the powers of darkness are moving rapidly. Because, you know, the devil don't know how many days he got left. See, he's on a timetable. He don't know how many days he got left. He don't know when God's going to wrap it up. He got to do all that he does now. And, of course, naturally, we have a generation, not just in the generation that we live in, but we have a generation behind us to protect and to lead them into righteousness and holiness. And, of course, now I'm going to tell you something. If that comes to the place and to a situation that we have to get rid of some things and clean up some things, we need to do it. We need to do it. And I went the other day and yesterday I thought about some things that didn't concern any of my children but concerned me. And I guess I had some, you know how you have some software on your computer. And yesterday I thought, you know what? I'm going home and I'm going to delete all of that software. I was in the car praying. And I said, I'm going right back home right now. And I don't care how much I liked it or whatever I did. I'm deleting every amount, all that software. I don't know how many megabytes I deleted. But I went in there and I just started click, click, click. And I went straight to the control panel. I'm waiting sure that this thing is getting off of my machine. And I said, well, I'm starting. You know why? Why did I start yesterday? Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And so therefore, I thought, before it even creates a problem, if it is a problem, I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of it. And then I thought in my mind, there's some more things I'm going to get rid of. I mean, seriously. I'm going to start discarding a lot of things. My kids are going to be upset with me. But you know why? Because I got a generation to protect. I got a message to preach. There's a God that's coming and soon at hand. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? And so therefore, I'm not putting anything in jeopardy. I'm not taking a chance on anything. I'm not taking a chance on anything. I'm not taking no chances. Mm-mm. I'm not trying to filter my way through. You know how you do? You know how everybody try to fill their way through? We satisfy the flesh here, and we satisfy the flesh there. Hallelujah. And then, of course, when the flesh comes and slaps you down, and you got to pray back through again, then you get back up and you try to do it again. No! I ain't playing that game. It's got to go. It's got to go. Why does it have to go? It's got to go because I feel this stirring that's happening in the earth. And I realize if the earth is being stirred, that I can be stirred with it. And you know, I might end up on the other side. You know, I can, you know, don't ever think that you're so secure, that you can't slip out the back door. You can't slip out the back door. And that's why the Bible says that we have to work out our own salvation in fear and in trembling. And so therefore, that's why I felt the other day, I started trembling. They got to go. I thought that's got to go. I went straight home. Sat down. Nobody was home but me. Blip, 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 blip. Gone. Hallelujah. Looking around. What else can go? Because I'm not taking any chance on my salvation. And you know what? I'm not taking a chance on my children's salvation. I'm not taking any chance on my wife's salvation. I'm not taking any chances. And so, you know, I still got some house cleaning to do. There are some things that I think that have crept in over the years that need to go. That's right. Huh? And they need to go. And you know what? We need to bear those type of convictions. Oh, man, I'm strong enough. I can hold on to anything. No, there's some things you can't hold on to. There's some things because there's this stirring in the earth. There's this stirring. Let me tell y'all something. It's just stirring in the earth. And again, go to verse number 3, brother. And I saw one of his heads, and as it were wounded into death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Of course, now, you know, I've heard a lot of different things on that. One position, and people believe that the healing of the beast was when Germany became a nation. Right, unify. When you unify, that was one position. Of course, there have been others too. But that's not the thing. The most important thing is that we live in the midst of what is taking place. Go to the next one. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And of course, we know that he will go through a series of wars, and of course, he will not defeat everyone, but of course, he will attempt to bring all the world under his submission. Go on to the next one. And they were given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, power, and power was given unto him to continue 42 days. Of course, that's the first 3.5 years of his so-called ministry. Then we go on. And he opened his mouth, and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelled in the heavens. Go on, brother. And it was given unto him to make war with who? Well, we ain't supposed to be here. That ain't what scripture tells me. What am I trying to say with that? I'm not trying to go against anybody's theology. If you believe in pre-tribulation, fine. Believe it. I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm going to tell you is this. That tells me one thing, that if saints must deal in that particular time against the powers of darkness, then they must be empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that tells me that the Holy Ghost is powerful enough to take us through any situation that we have to go through. But it's not to your advantage if you don't use it. It's not to your advantage if you don't use it. It's able to say it. And to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. So therefore, every kindred, tongue, and nation he had power over. And then go on. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name. Now, the ones who will worship him are those whose names are not what? In the book. Hallelujah. Don't you hope you're in the book? Think about it. Don't you hope that you're in the book? Hallelujah. I hope I'm in the book. Because those who are not in the book will worship him. Go to the next, brother. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. If any man has an ear, spiritual ear, you have the ability to listen. You have the ability to hear. What you going to do with what you hear? And then later on it talks about at the end it talks about, let's turn to 16, brother. And he calls all both small and great and rich and poor and free and bond to receive a mark to their right hand or in their foreheads. Now let me tell you something. I don't know. I believe it. I believe many things will be literal. But let me tell you something. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm not talking about the actual mark or whatever will take place, but I'm going to tell you this. This is why it's very important that we are led by the Spirit of God. This is very important. Now, I want you to hear me with this because this is very important. And the reason why I say this is because this right now is in the making. Not necessarily the mark, but the Spirit is here. What's the object of the Spirit? To make you a dependent off of the system. That's the object of the human spirit. And the object of the spirit of the world is to make you a dependent off of the system. God is our provider. You have to now listen to me, saints. God is our provider. Don't depend upon the system to provide for you. Because the more the system provides for you, the more the system will expect of you. You see? And so we depend upon the system. Because the system has provided so much for us. And so when we continue to depend upon the system, when the system comes and presents the time and says, "Well, here, you need to take this mark, hold it. Or you don't eat. Or you don't sleep." Huh? We got to do some fasting and praying. Hallelujah. But well, you know what? But the Holy Ghost has empowered you to say, "Oh no, we ain't doing all that." In fact, I believe that the Holy Ghost has not only empowered us to say no, I believe that the Holy Ghost has empowered the church to redirect the church that we don't even have to go that way. But you got to follow the leadership of the Spirit. Because if you follow the leadership of your flesh will lead you right into it. Right into it. Oh, we don't need to speak in tongues? We need to speak in tongues. We need to speak in tongues. Because you know what? All of humanity is going that way. The Bible tells us. It tells us every tongue and every nation. That all of humanity is going that way. All of humanity is going that way. What happened? You know what? I almost opened up the scripture about Genesis chapter 11. They all followed Nimrod. They all went that way. They all went that direction until the Lord went down and confused them. Amen. They all went that way. Humanity is all going that direction. Everybody wants security. Everybody's afraid for tomorrow. Everybody wants to have a job. Everybody wants to do this. Everybody wants to do that. And you know, you better do this. You better put in a, you better get a 401k. You better do this. You better do that. You better save for retirement. Am I right? That's the spirit of this world. You better buy your house. You better buy your car. You better do this, you better do that. Or you don't have any security. My security's in the Lord. Now, somebody would say, "Oh man, that's too extreme." I know it is. I know it's extreme. But you know what? They're going to find out later on that it's going to be awfully extreme. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be extreme. It's going to be extreme when a man comes and says, you need to worship me. It's going to be extreme when everybody comes and lines everybody up and starts giving them a mark or wherever it goes, forehead, right hand, whatever. Hallelujah. Or whatever it means, you know. I can tell wherever you go, wherever you did, whatever, you know, all you had to do is commit a crime. We just click the button. We know where you are. And you know, the whole world wanted it that way because they needed security. See, the position is security. Security. Security among our goods. Security for the things that we own. Security. My security is in the Lord. Some of us might have to go underworld. Underground. Oh no. Yeah. Oh yeah, you might have to go underground. You might have to go underground. But let me tell you something. The church won't be the only ones going underground. Because there'll be others that won't believe. And they'll know the knowledge of the Word of God. And they'll realize that the days that they've come upon. And they realize that now the story of the pot. And that which stirred, you know how you stir up a pot of soup and everything good begins to rise? Well, the earth is being stirred right now. And that which, whatever the devil is trying to bring forth, he'll rise it up to the top. Securities. Listen, y'all. That's why I really believe right now. Now, I want you to hear me before I close. That's why I believe right now that if any of us are struggling with something that we're expecting for God, we need to continue to struggle with it. Don't allow man to give you a soft cushion. Because if man gives you a soft cushion, he will entrap you. He will enslave you. We need to trust God. Why does God take us through these trials? To build us for the days that are coming. See, he's trying to build us for the days that are coming. You say, Lord, where you at? You know, Lord's here. He's here. But he's trying to build us for the days that are coming. And we need to, he's trying to prepare our spirits, our hearts, that we have the strength to say, no, I don't want it. I'm good. Is that saying you won't have fear? Of course you might have fear. I'm not saying you won't have fear, but at least you have God. And you know, and once you've made the decision, you know you've done the right thing. But then the question comes to our mind. Well, Brother Greg, how do you know you're doing the right thing? Because it's written. See, you know what we don't understand? Here's the problem with the church today. The church can celebrate the word of God as long as they're not challenged. The church can celebrate the word of God as long as they're not challenged. As soon as we're challenged, then the celebration is over. But like I preached a watchman service many years ago, and I said this, that the Lord will come when people are young and old. So all y'all young ones, the Lord is not waiting for you to get old. And the Lord's not necessarily waiting for us to get in the grave. He's going to do whatever he's doing. But we need to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. That's why God has given us the Holy Ghost, that we won't be lost, that we'll be able to sift ourselves through even in the midst of darkness. But as soon as the devil can get you to lean upon the position of securities, he knows that he has you. He knows he got you, and he'll pile it on you. And another thing, don't let the devil tell you that God cannot provide. He will provide. Let's stand. I kept y'all long enough. He will provide. We're going through, y'all. We're going through. And you know what? Let me tell you something. You're going through whether you like it or not. The whole earth is going through. Everybody's going through. There's going to be revival on one hand, and there's going to be problems on the other. But we're going through. So we might as well, and the thing is that we're not going through alone. We might as well hook up to one another and realize that we got to go through this thing together. Amen. We need to pray for each other. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Hallelujah. Empower yourself in the Holy Ghost. Listen, y'all, get rid of the garbage. It's time to release yourself from the powers of the boob tube. Do I make sense? Get away from it. Put it out. If you need to, put it out. Because that's part of the seething pot. He gets into our homes. He gets into our children. He gets into things around us. Oh, man. Now, Brother Greg. Yes. Yes. I'm preaching it. I ain't scared. I'm preaching it. I'm going to preach it because I want people to be saved. Amen. And I realize that that's the avenue because Brother Camp read that out. He started. Brother Camp said the Prince of Power of the Air. Didn't you? Prince of Power of the Air, Ephesians chapter 2. That's how he presents himself to be omnipresent. Be careful of your internet. For all I'm concerned, it's equally dangerous. In fact, I think it's more dangerous. It's more dangerous. Control it. Amen. Don't let anything have control over you. That's why I went home and said, hold it. And I thought in my mind, I said, if this thing got any control, it's got to go. It's got to go. Control it. Control it. Because I've learned one thing. Some information is better than me not know. Some information is better that I just don't know of. Watch what you entertain on the news. All news is not good news, and nor is it helpful. Learn how to eat the meat and throw the bones out. Hallelujah. And let's stand against the position of Hollywood. I got to deal with it too. This ain't just for y'all. I got to deal with it too. Hey, man. Let's stand against it. Let's take the church back where the church needs to be. Hey, man. Hallelujah. Is it hard? Yeah. Some things are hard in the flesh, but it's good for the soul. And I've learned one thing. If once you get used to it, you'll find you don't miss nothing. You glad it's gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right? You glad it's gone. Amen. And then you have a new excuse why you can't pray. You have a new excuse why you can't pray. You won't have to deal with that same excuse where my TV show comes on a certain time. Forget that mess. You know, one of the biggest things that ever turned me off, one time a sister told me about looking at Oprah to teach me about kids. I almost rebuked this woman. I thought, Jesus, oh Lord, this woman needs deliverance. How in the world, why would I look at Oprah? A woman that has no kids, and not only that, she's a Buddhist. Why in the world would I do that? I'm not talking against celebrities or dignitaries. I'm telling you that there's a world out there that would like to get our attention and will do everything to get our attention. And I'm telling you another thing. That world out there, we spend money. We spend our money that we work hard at to buy some of that junk. Am I right? I know some of my money went out there. Hold it, man. I'm holding on my chains now. I ain't getting away my chains that easy. Some of your money went out there for the sake of entertainment. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should not have entertainment. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't play games or whatever we do. And I'm not saying that everything is sin. I'm not saying that. But I know one thing. There's a lot of spirits behind a lot of things today. And some things are better not to deal with at all. I'm not talking about it in a legalistic form either. Because I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm just telling you how to do it. Amen. It's a difference between telling people what to do and how to do it. Because why? Because salvation is a power of choice. And your continued position of salvation is the power of your choice. And sometimes you have to sometimes you have to learn this. Sometimes you have to step up to the plate and say, hey, I got to deal with this thing. Sometimes you just got to step up to the plate and say, hey, this ain't going to do me no good. This is the power of the Holy Ghost. This is why we have the Holy Ghost. To make good decisions. The decisions hurt sometimes. But you'll find that once that decision is made and once it's behind you, it's painless. You find liberty and freedom. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the power.